You're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport Campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
Good morning, church. Great. Good to see you here today. It was interesting, I came up here to practice just before you all arrived, and they said, don't fall off the stage. So, well, let's see how that works, right? I think that's why I have this pulpit, so I don't fall, kind of walk forward and trip and fall off. Okay. Mike did do a bit of an introduction for me, and therefore that kind of means I can drop the first few paragraphs of my notes here. But yeah, I have lived all over the world, England and California. I've traveled all over the world and had the opportunity to speak in various and many places, but never here. But it is great to be able to be here this morning to look out on all of you. The one thing that didn't get mentioned, though, is I said I would give a shout out to my ushering buddies, who help guide me through the whys and wherefores of standing on the south lobby door. So please feel free to come through that door on a normal Sunday, and you'll see me or see one of my other buddies as they help you in all the other ways. So anyway, you now know a little bit more about me, but let's pray as we come to God's word. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for every opportunity that we have to come together to worship you. Father, help us to be able to listen. Help us to be able to put aside the pressures of this day even, of this week, of this month. Father, help us to come into your presence this morning. Be with us and speak to us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever think about the sermon titles? Do you ever think about the sermon title? I'm getting at least one nod. That's one whole nod from an entire room full of people. I'm sure the pastoral team really put a lot of effort into this, and it was a really big pressure for me as well. I've got to try and think of something. So, where is all my joy gone, right? But sometimes maybe your life feels like that. Have you ever noticed that? You wake up one day and you're like, where's it all gone? I was so happy yesterday. Maybe that was 6 months ago sometimes. But where is all my joy gone? But I was driving back from a trip just the other weekend, driving back through Manhattan. Lots of cars around us, and this car pulled up next to us and then pulled ahead. And its license plate said, "More joy." I thought two things immediately. One, that is a fantastic number plate. Sorry, license plate. Apologize, I'm in America, sorry. Fantastic license plate. And the other thing I thought is, I want that for today, for this morning, for this opportunity to come and speak, that we would all be able to take this story and throw it away. And we know where the joy is. We know the joy in our hearts, and we're able to be like that person, I think it was from North Carolina, be able to experience that more joy in your life today. But how do we define joy? Something called the internet tells us that joy is an intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness or an instance of such a feeling. Maybe you have a paper dictionary at home, maybe you use some other online dictionary, but the concept of joy is often about the outside looking in, that physical response to things that happen in this world around us. And I hope you all at least experience some level of joy in your life. Maybe the deal closed. Maybe you're in sales and you finally close that big deal with that big client. Yay! Woohoo! Bonus time! Maybe the prayer answered. Well, answered in the way we wanted it to be answered. The team winning, maybe even last Sunday as an example. Or maybe that gift or bonus that appears at just the right time. You know what I mean? That one that just comes through the mail. And we're like, wow, this is so great. And we experience that sensation of joy. But the point is that life sometimes isn't always like that on the outside, is it? That we have the other experience. Because every time that other person won, closed that deal, you lost it. Maybe that prayer that wasn't answered in the way you wanted it to be answered. The team losing, even last Sunday again, for example. Or possibly that car or household appliance breaking down at just the wrong time. All of these things cause us to then feel down. So we have the excitement, the joy part, and then we also have that down feeling. And life sometimes like that. It's like being on an ocean. You kind of go up and you go down. Or sometimes it's just flat, calm. I have a fabulous story about 19 hours on a ferry, which I'll try and resist the urge to tell you this morning. But that was definitely going up and down, that ferry was. Yes, it was. But I really enjoyed the fried breakfast I had the next morning. But that, once again, is a whole different story and a whole different day. But do you experience that in your life? You know, you can look back, maybe in months past, years back, you know, different times, different stages of life. You have that joy, woohoo, and then you have that, ooh, moment. The whole point is that the joy we want to talk about today is not really about that. It's the same word, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. We have three passages to look at this morning, trying to set some of the tone for what I'm trying to express when I'm speaking about joy here this morning. First passage we're going to look at is in the book of Habakkuk. Now, when I first came to America, people tried to tell me this was called Habakkuk. I don't know if you're a Habakkuk person or a Habakkuk person, but I apologize, I just can't say Habakkuk. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. So we're going to stick with the word Habakkuk, and you'll just have to forgive me for it. It's right here. I've got my Bible, physical Bible, open here. This is how through the Bible it is. If you've got a paper Bible, that's it. Habakkuk chapter 3. It should be here up on the wall. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, though there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Now this whole book, the book of Habakkuk, is one of my most favorite books in the whole Bible. And if I get asked back again, maybe we'll start at Habakkuk chapter 1 and go all the way through. But the point is that the last few closing verses of this book is about the Habakkuk the prophet being transformed in his understanding of God. Now, once again, an agrarian culture, once again, we're not terribly agrarian. We just go to Stop and Shop here and buy whatever we need to buy. But then, if the fig tree failed, the olive failed, the fruit of the field failed, the flock failed, the herd failed, you were in a bad situation. Maybe we can translate some of that into modern speak. But it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. So when things have gone catastrophically wrong, Habakkuk was able to trust God and therefore take that joy as a response and not get washed away in the storms and the chaos of life that he's referring to there. Skip forward. 1 Peter 1. Now, this should be easy to find in anybody's Bible because we've been speaking on it for the last several weeks and months if you've been here. Pastor Mike's been leading us through that. But 1 Peter 1, 6 to 9, it should also be appearing as if by magic on the wall. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. Rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, what did Mike speak about last Sunday, those of you who were here? He referred to the fact that this passage was written at a time when Nero was the emperor in Rome. Christians were being dragged out. They were being slaughtered. This was not a good time to be a Christian. The whole premise was that these people could experience freedom, which is what we looked at last week. If you weren't here, download that message. It is excellent. But also the fact that we can have this joy, inexpressible joy. And isn't that incredible? Inexpressible joy. Not just, yeah, I'm feeling happy, woo. But it's inexpressible. It's so amazing. It's so fantastic, despite the horrible circumstances that those Christians found themselves in. And lastly, the converse of all of this. Psalm chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Just real quick. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart, more joy in my heart, than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Do you see the inverse of that? Habakkuk, the world is all going wrong, everything's a disaster, you've lost your entire crop, everything's going wrong, and yet have that joy. In 1 Peter, those people were experiencing a culture where their lives were threatened every single day, physically threatened. And yet they can have joy inexpressible because of what Jesus had done for them. And then back in Psalms, the other way, even when the world has got blessing no end, they have everything. Their crops haven't just gone well, they've gone great. Grain and wine abounding. You can still have more joy than those people. Isn't that incredible? It's often interesting to hear the stories of the stars. Not that I'm really a reader of such magazines or papers, etc. But you know, the stars, they have everything, you think. And they get to the top and they find that there is nothing there. Nothing there. There's no joy to be had in that experience. They need to come and know the God of the Bible. And it's interesting, this last little verse, I included it in verse 8, says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. Do you sleep peacefully at night? It's an interesting question. You know, some of us roll around, you know, we kind of up and down. But if we're worried, if there's a pressure, what are we going to do? Oh, I don't know where to survive with all these things. What if my things are broken? What if life gets washed away? Oh my goodness. You're not going to sleep peacefully. And yet the psalmist was able to say that he slept peacefully because the Lord helps him dwell in safety. So what are we going to do about joy today? There's a little question on your notice sheet, which you can fill in with that pen that you can get from the welcome centers. It says, on a scale of 1 to 10, or 1 to 5, sorry, I did 1 to 5 in the end. 1 to 5, how is your joy today? Maybe you're still trying to get past the title, you know, where's all my joy gone? Maybe you're a 0, maybe you're going to be funny. 0. That'll show him. Or maybe you're a 6, maybe you're a 5, maybe you're like, wow, life is so fantastic. God has done so much for me. I'm really excited. And I hope that's your experience this morning. However, I believe that life often isn't quite like that. And I was sitting preparing for this a number of weeks ago. Pastor Mike asked me to come and speak. And I was sitting at my desk at home. And I feel my heartbeat. It's a long, kind of boring story, but I feel my heartbeat every single second, mechanical heart valve, big long story, not for today. But I sit there and feel it, and I was listening, and I was just feeling it. My heart starts going, dum 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 dum. And I'm like, that's a bit odd. Because normally my heartbeat goes, dum dum. Dum, dum, just like yours does. Just like yours is doing right now, I hope. But But anyway, I was experiencing this heart arrhythmia. In fact, I'm still experiencing it right now. Okay? And it's really interesting because when you feel your heartbeat every single day, when it doesn't beat properly, you kind of wonder about it. As I say, you probably experience it, many people do, it's kind of a very natural thing to do, but not week after week. So there's two choices I have, two obvious choices. One, worry about it, okay? That's the favorite choice of many of us, isn't it? Yeah? If you've got somebody to worry about, let's worry about it. Or the other choice is to trust God and experience this joy that we've just been speaking about, this transforming power that God can bring to us so that we can know him better. And my response, I suppose I can think like this. My Savior has kept me alive so far. Right? Once again, another story, another day, all kinds of bizarre health things, whatever. But the whole point is that God has kept me alive so far. And if now, sitting preparing this message at my desk, angrily typing away at my keyboard as usual, if it's now my time to go, okay. Let's go. No more mechanical heart valve. Eternity in heaven, let's go now. Perfect. I mean, this is the reality. And then I mention this to people, like I've got to go to a doctor's appointment, you know, trying to get my medicine right, balance my heart rate, you know, whatever. They say to me, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you coping? You know, you're worrying. I'm really sorry to hear this. And I say to them, no, it's fine. God's in charge. They look at me as I've just grown a second head right about here. Now, once again, I'm not trying to claim some kind of sainthood, right? There are times at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up at night, everyone's asleep, the whole house is quiet, and my heart's going, da-dum, dum, 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 da-dum, dum, dum, dum. And I'm like, hmm. And you have a kind of a worry. Maybe it's a worry comes into your head. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do at 3 o'clock in the morning? Can't really wake Anne up. Well, I could, but that wouldn't be very nice. Come back to some of the scriptures, some of these scriptures. Remembering the joy that God can give us despite the situations that we find ourselves in. Or maybe an old hymn. We have one, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, one you maybe remember well. Not the first verse, but one of the other verses says this, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Our precious Savior, he is still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That continuous resetting, that continuously coming back to the Savior who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we can know the transforming power, even at 3 o'clock in the morning with my heartbeat going all over the place, we can know that. We can know our Savior. I received a book at a Christmas party I was at last year, Seven Men and the Secrets of Their Greatness by Eric Metaxas. I'm sure you remember Eric Metaxas wrote the Bonhoeffer book and other things like that. Fantastic. Fantastic book. I love books. I have piles and piles of books at home, but I got this book. I'm going to read that. I flipped through it, and there were seven men in it, as it says, the most interesting of which was Jackie Robinson. But that, once again, is another story for another day. Okay, but the last person in the book was a guy called Chuck Colson. And have you heard of Chuck Colson? Any hands? Most. Okay, good. Chuck Colson was a very interesting guy. He worked on something called the Nixon administration and was very famous for being involved in something called Watergate. A little complicated. Maybe we could just step over the politics for one second. But he was a very interesting guy. And somebody asked me what was interesting about him. And I said he was almost a kind of a Saul-like character. I know that sounds a bit of a strange thing to say. Not in the kind of stoning Christians kind of a way. But, you know, basically a guy connected with the establishment in a bad way, who meets Jesus during those dramatic Watergate times, ends up having his life turned upside down, including going to prison, which we're going to talk about in just a second. And then he leaves prison, he leaves aspect of that good life he had behind and goes to his true calling, which is working with prisoners. Absolutely incredible story. He's written a whole lot of books. Must go and buy more books, note to self. But anyway, here's a bit of a quote for him. I didn't put this one on the wall, but you'll just have to listen to it. But today, Hugh saw his friend had hit rock bottom. Hughes exhorted Chuck to practice what they had all preached and turn his problems over to God. It sounded so simple, but doing it was not so easy. Nevertheless, Chuck took his friend's advice, and that night in his cell, literal prison cell, he prayed, giving everything to God. Lord, he prayed, if this is what this is all about, then I thank you. I praise you for leaving me in prison, for letting them take away my license to practice law, for even my son being arrested. I praise you for giving me your love through these men, and for being God and just letting me walk with Jesus. Somehow that prayer changed everything. Chuck could feel it amidst his difficulties. He experiences a joy that had been absent before. And as Chuck recalled later, this was a real mountaintop experience. Above and around me, the world was filled with love and beauty. For the first time, I've felt truly free. Now, as you may know, or you can imagine, God dramatically turned this whole situation on its head. Like that. Because Chuck Colson, a man with such power, fair enough, he was in prison, but still a powerful man, had finally turned everything over to God, absolutely, openly, honestly, heart-bearing, okay, if this is what this is all about. And he is transformed. Now, he already knew Jesus, right? He'd already experienced that part of his life. But for some reason, he kept a lot of these problems and pressures kind of to himself. I can fix this. And his friend encouraged him to say, no, you can't fix it. Only God can fix it. Only God can fix it. And it changed him on the inside and transformed ministry to prisoners all across this country, all across the world. Absolutely amazing. But it took to get to rock bottom to be able to really focus his life correctly on the Savior. So, how can you have this joy in your life? How can you have it? No, really, I mean, how can you do it? I don't care if you're four. I don't know if we've got any four-year-olds left. I think they've all escaped. 44 or 104. You can know this deep, indwelling excitement that comes from that true knowledge of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit working in your heart this very day that results in this joy. You know, if you find a castle or some kind of a building like that, there's usually a well somewhere in that building. Maybe you don't like castles. I love castles. Sorry. You find these wells, and that's welling up so that the people in that castle could be safe. The whole premise in your life is that God gives you a well through the Holy Spirit working in your heart that can bubble to the surface so that you are protected by God blessing you and watching over you each day. There's a quick quote from C.S. Lewis that I read in the commentary. I think I put this one on the wall. C.S. Lewis points out, we will never know joy by seeking it. Joy or gladness comes as a side effect of the presence of the living God. We are dealing with the Creator rather than the creation. Now, sometimes we seek joy or these kinds of sensations through family, through work, through other experiences, or some of those other even more negative things, alcohol, drugs, relationships. But they're all on the outside. They're kind of forcing us to kind of try and be happy. Well, if I go to another party, I'm sure it'll be great. I'll feel better. If I have another drink, I'll feel better. If my kids do well in school, I'll feel better. But Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's really from the inside out that we need to be thinking. We often think about this problem all the wrong way around. And I ask people when I meet them on the doors every Sunday, how's it going? How was your week? You know, these kinds of things. And people say, yeah, things are going great. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know if they're going great. They could just be telling me a story on a Sunday morning. The whole point is we need to have this idea that it's God changing us from the inside that brings us true joy. It doesn't matter whether your world is falling around your ears, and maybe it is, or it's the other way around. You're experiencing blessing like no other. You're just wondering where to park your next Ferrari. Maybe. And great, good for you. I think Pastor Mike would love a Ferrari, by the way, just to be clear about that. So the point is, maybe you've come to Jesus, you've taken those ABC steps, and that's great. That is great. Because if you've done that before today, that means you are saved. You are going home, whenever that day is. You're going home to be with the Savior. But the problem is, there's that thing that we're dragging along. You know, all of that sin, all of those problems, all of those things that we just get caught up on. The work, the world tries to force on us. Oh, you've got to worry about this. You need to do this. You've got to be like this. And often when we first get saved, we're so excited that, you know, that we've come to Jesus. Maybe if we come to him a little later in life, we get excited. We tell people, hey, come on, you've got to learn about this Jesus guy. He's so incredible. You've got to come to church with me on Sunday. Come on, let's go now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, let's go. But then life goes on, and we don't read the Bible quite as much. We don't turn to Jesus in prayer quite as much. The things that held us back that Jesus initially really changed in us, maybe there's some new ones come along, and we just find that the weight. No, I'm not sure. And we end up like the title of this sermon, Where Has All the Joy Gone? So what are you going to do next? Did you lose your way? Did you lose your first love? You've turned away from that highway of joy to the back streets of just going through the motions. As you say, maybe this happened over time. Maybe it just drip, 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 drip. Pressures at work, problems at home, secret sin, all kinds of different reasons. But the point is, I can only encourage you with you, plead with you, exhort you, all of these words, to come back to the Savior. To come back. Not to be re-saved, but just to refocus your mind. To pick that Bible up off the coffee table. To dig, blow the dust off the Bible that's in your bookshelf at home. To not come to church once in a blue moon. But to be here. To be interested. To be engaged. To be focused on the Savior. So that we can come to God. We can come with that new freshness every morning. You can get up and say, I'm going to serve Jesus today. I'm going to go out. I'm going to share the love. Yeah, fine. I've got this problem. Yeah, fine, my life is not going as well as it hopefully will do eventually one day. But you can be like the psalmist and say, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. You can testify to that. You can testify to your neighbor about that over your back fence, that person you work with, the person you meet with at the shops. You can say, God has changed me. I can lie down and sleep in peace despite the circumstances that I find myself in. That not the outside looking in, but the inside looking out. I can know God transforming my life each day. Isn't that incredible? What an opportunity. An opportunity that you have this morning to be able to throw off the shackles, to throw off these problems and say, Lord, I've been distracted. I've been focused on the wrong things. I've been going through the storms of life all by myself. Jesus has been there, right? But you've just kind of left him off to the side. You maybe tried to solve your own problems. Well, if I can do this, God will love me more. And you get all distracted. That's not how it works. God is the God of miracles. I'm a physical testament to that fact. And God is the God of miracles here today. And you can know these miracles. You can know that transforming power of the Holy Spirit, so that that question of where has all the joy gone, that is not a question anymore in your life. And in fact, you can be pulling more people out of the mire, both in salvation sense as well as that regeneration, that excitement. What am I going to do now for Jesus? What am I going to go and do? It's so exciting to be able to come back, to be able to read these verses. And I would encourage you to do that. As Mike has encouraged us in the times past and the other pastors, when people have verses, I've put them in your notes, dig them out. Go and read them this afternoon. Refresh these experiences in your mind. And work out what you're going to do next. What are you going to do next? As we come to close this service, I would encourage you to think about that. I would encourage you to, what do you need to do to get right with God? Maybe in the eternal spiritual sense of the ABCs, or maybe more likely this idea that the joy that you once experienced has kind of just got broken. You've lost it. You've got distracted. The world has pressed in too tightly. You've been so distracted by the news and the chaos and all of the other things that you see going on around you. The question is, what are you going to do next? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. I'm going to leave a short gap in the center, and then I'm going to close in some words of scripture as Peter plays. And I would encourage you to reflect. We put a number on the sheet. Maybe you didn't have a pen. Maybe you just thought about it. But the idea is that, what am I going to do? God offers us this joy, this welling up, this transforming power through the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts. And I would encourage you to know that more today than you did yesterday, so that tomorrow life can be different. That life can be different. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this chance to be here this morning. I thank you for all of us who are able to be here. And I thank you most especially for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died that I could be forgiven, that I could be saved for all eternity. But Father, I pray for that presence of the Holy Spirit in my life and the life of each of us here, that we would be able to be refreshed and renewed. And that enthusiasm, that passion, that joy for the gospel would come back. That we would be able to reach out to those friends, reach out to those neighbors to tell them about the transforming power. Father, I pray, as each one of us prays now, that you would draw us to yourself. Father, as we've prayed, as I close here with the book of Jude, says, now him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Just to reinforce that maybe something's spoken to you, touched you, and you'd like to talk to somebody about that, we have prayer teams will be at the front. Come forward and talk to them. I would encourage you to do that. And if you're a first-time guest, or first-time visitor, everyone has a first Sunday, by the way. I did, you did. Everyone, if you're here for that first time, head straight out the back and go to guest services and talk to our friendly volunteers. Thanks for coming today, and have a great week.